The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parsha's Kitzetze. We have in the Parsha, in Chof Beis Posuk Yud Gimel, a man took a wife, and he came to her, and he hated her. And because he hated her, so he wanted to scandalize her name. So he fabricated a story. And he said that I married her, but I did not find her to be a psula, virgin. And what he was doing was fabricating a story. Rashi tells us that we see her avera geres avera, because uva eleha usnea, because he hated her, seifei, he'll come to be made tishemra. From there he'll come to scandalize her. Avera geres avera, one avera draws you into another avera. This is what is known as Meitzi Shemra, when you slander someone with an untruth. And then the Torah tells us what are the laws in particular to that case. A little further on in the Sedra, in the Devarim Chof Dalet Posuk Ches, the Torah tells us, Yishomer b'nega hatzoras lishma mi'od v'lasois. Guard carefully against the plague of tzoras, which was a certain type of an illness which we commonly refer to as leprosy, but it's not the leprosy that was known to us. Our rabbis tell us that today it's extinct. You shall guard closely. And you should do in regards to this everything that the Kahanim and the Levim will instruct you to do. Zechor es asher oso Adonai Elecha leMiriam baderech betzeischem miMitzroy. Remember everything that Hashem did to Miriam when you were going out of Egypt, on the journey going out of Egypt. Now, what does one thing have to do with the other? The Torah tells us that you should guard carefully in regards to this illness, this leprosy, and then remember what Hashem did to Miriam. The Smichas HaParshas, the relationship of these two particular subjects, is because the Almighty struck Miriam with leprosy. When she spoke against her brother Moshe, she spoke Lashon Hara. And therefore the Torah is telling us that you shall guard carefully against leprosy. How do you do this? By guarding yourself from speaking Lashon Hara. Not to speak badly about people behind their backs. Because Hanagoyim Boyin Aloshen Hora. Because one of the reasons why leprosy comes, one of the prime reasons, is for Loshen Hora. The Sifri on this Posuk, both on this Posuk and in Baal Esecho, we'll refer back to there. That the Torah tells us at the end of Baal Esecho in Sefer Bamidbar, this is in Perek Yud Beis Aleph, Vatidaber Miriam Ba'aren B'meisha Al Eidus Isho Akushis Asher Lokoch. Miriam and Aaron spoke words which were against Moshe in regards to his wife. And the Sifri tells us Batadaber Miriam Varen Bemeshu Minayan Hosa Miriam Yadash Shapirish Meshim Epiri Vivyu. What happened? Miriam found out that Moshe, after the Torah was given, and when he came back down from Har Sinai, he separated himself from his wife Miriam. How did Miriam find this out? El Shorosa Tzipora She'ena miskashetes b'tashmishei noshim, because she saw that Tzipora, Moshe's wife, was not adorning herself with all of the normal adornments that a married woman does, that a married woman uses. Omro lo maloch she'en at miskashetes b'tashmishei noshim. Why don't you take care of yourself anymore the way you should? So she answered, your brother Moshe doesn't care anymore. Miriam, so therefore from here she understood that Moshe had separated himself from his wife. Now it wasn't exactly separated, but he didn't return to his wife, because when Klal Yisrael went up to Har Sinai to receive the Torah, there they were instructed for 3 days to separate themselves. After the Torah was given, there HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, Shuvu lochem lo aleichem, go and return now to your homes. But to Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Atah amedi modi, but you stay with me. So from here Moshe understood that he was not allowed to return to his wife. They didn't know this, and when they heard this, when they realized that this is what happened, they became very upset. And this Miriam went the Omra Lachia, and she told her brother Aaron, Ushneam Dibrubai. And they both said things which were classified as Lashon Hara against Moshe. They said that Moshe is doing wrongly, what he's doing is not allowed to do, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Kol Yisrael, not only to Moshe, and everyone afterwards was allowed to return to their homes and to their wives. This is what they started to say. Because of this, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu became very angry. He became very angry, and he came to Miriam and to Aaron. Vayema Hashem pisum el meshev la Aaron vel Miriam tzu shloshtechem el ha'ol me'el v'yetze shloshtem. And he said, Leikein avdi meshe madua leyereisem ledaber ba'avdi v'meshe. There was no prophet that ever spoke to me like Moshe. Every prophet has a dream, or they have a vision, something like that. But someone to speak to me outright, like two people talking to each other and have a two-way conversation. There was no one that ever spoke to me like that, except Moshe Abdi, my most faithful servant. And you're not afraid to speak against him? Vayichar af Hashem bom vayilach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu became very angry, and he went away. And after he left, v'hine Miriam mitzeras kasholik, that Miriam was stricken with leprosy. Also, the Torah tells us that v'yish Moshe onef mi'ayit mikol la'odem ashal penei adoma. Right here in this parsha, it states that Moshe was a very humble person, the most humblest of all people on the earth. Why does the Torah tell us this? Didn't hurt him, it didn't bother him that they were speaking. Didn't bother him in the least. That they were claiming that he was doing something wrong, this didn't affect Moshe. So then, Miriam was stricken, and this is what the Sifri, this is what the Torah is telling us now. He shomel chem benegat zaras. Be very careful, but you should become stricken with negat zaras. Zechor, remember what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to Miriam. And by remembering this, then you will guard yourself from leprosy. The Sifri continues here in Baalei Sicha. And it states, V'harei dvorim kal v'chema. Miriam did not have intention to, what did she speak to Aaron for? She was trying to criticize Moshe in the eyes of Aaron and bring down his honor or bring down his value, his height in the eyes of Aaron. That this was not her intention. And she wasn't trying to make machlekes many, many times through Lashon Hara. So you make machlekes between man and his wife. She wasn't trying to make machlekes el arabes. She was trying to bring a man and wife together. Ubeino levein atzma. And to how many people did she speak this to? She only spoke to Aaron. And kach nensho. And still we see that she was punished for this Lashon Hara. Amiskaven ledaber b'chavera legnai, leilishvach. So if someone speaks against another person because they want to demean him in the eyes of other people, ulamayet mipir evyo, and they want to be machnisino, bring machlekes, dissension between man and wife. And they do it between amongst many people. They don't keep it in house. Alachas kam v'koma. So how much more so will they be stricken with this nega, with this plague? This is what the Sifri tells us in Baalei Sicha. Here in Kiseitse, the Sifri adds a little. It states, b'chimayin zeleze, what does leprosy have to do with Miriam? L'lamdecho, to teach her, she'ein negoim boim el ha-loshon hora. That this plague comes because of loshon hora. B'harei dvorim kal v'chema. And it's a kal v'chema. U'ma Miriam shalei dibra ele shalei b'fonov. Shalmeisha u'lahanosei shalmeisha u'leshivchei shalmokam u'lebinyonei shaleilam. Miriam, she spoke only to Aaron. And she was actually interested in the welfare of Moshe. This is why she took this up. And she was standing up for the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And she wanted to bring them together. And still she was nensho. And still she was punished. So someone who speaks, who tries to demean his fellow man, berabim, amongst other people, how much more so? The Ramban in this parsha here by Zohar, which we're referring to, and also at the end of Kiseitse, the Ramban learns this to be a mitzvah saseh and a mitzvah leis saseh. This is a positive commandment and a negative commandment. A negative commandment, shomor, wherever it states, guard yourself, that a person must guard himself from speaking Lashon Hara. Guard himself from leprosy by speaking Lashon Hara. So therefore this is a negative commandment, and it's a positive commandment of Zohar to remember what Hashem did to Miriam. And the Chofetz Chaim, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, he writes these two mitzvahs in his Minyan HaMitzvahs, Mitzvahs Esei Aleph and Mitzvahs Leis Aseh Gimel, in his Sefer Chofetz Chaim, where he reckons off all of the many, many mitzvahs that one transgresses when he speaks Lashon Hara. Then the Ramban goes further. And he says, to fulfill this mitzvah of Zohar Eis Asher Osa Hashem Elokecha LeMiriam, to remember what Hashem did to Miriam, how do you fulfill this mitzvah? So generally, we would say Zohar means to remember. He says, no, you do not fulfill the mitzvah that way. Why? Because it says he's Shomer, and the Sifri there darshans believe that when it says he's Shomer, so there we say Shalaitish Kach believe, you shall not forget. So how do you fulfill the mitzvah of Zohar? He says that's only bepeh. That's only by verbalizing. For example, he says, that's what he's speaking about at the end of Pasha, at the end of this Pasha, by Zohar Eis Asher Osa Lecha Amalek. How do you fulfill the mitzvah of remembering what Amalek did? You have to verbalize it. We fulfill it by reading it in the Sefer Torah. He says the same thing here. This mitzvah you'll only fulfill by verbalizing, by telling over the story of Miriam and Aaron and Moshe. And he said, not to yourself, but to others. And it's a mitzvah's essay, a positive commandment to tell it over constantly to your children and your children's children. Now, he said, really, it would be ruya, it would be proper, lahaster esadovar. It would really be proper to conceal this, and not to talk about this so much. Because Miriam was a very, very great tzaddikus. And we're not supposed to be mefarsim, to spread the sins of any person, certainly of the righteous. The fact is, Miriam was such a great tzaddikus that in Parshas, in the Parsha, in the Sifri, in Baal Eisecho, it brings that what does it mean, there's a posuk that states that I will send before you Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. I will send before you Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. What does this mean? It states that as long, when Miriam was stricken with this leprosy, then she had to go outside of the camp. And the Torah tells us that as long as she was outside of the camp, the nation was not allowed to move further, but they had to wait for her to be cured and then return into the camp. So the Sifri says, because Miriam had to go in front of the people together with Moshe Aaron. So this is the whole 600,000 people all waited for her. This is how great she was. So he said, really, it would have been proper to conceal this. So why does the Torah tell us not to conceal it, and not only not to conceal it, it makes it a mitzvah to talk about it, and a mitzvah to teach it to your children and your children's children? He says, because this sin is so great, the Torah wanted to protect us from it. And therefore, it utilized this opportunity. The Rambam at the end of in Sefer Taras, at the end of Hilchas Tumas Ras, the Rambam elaborates. We won't go into the entire Rambam this evening. In fact, we'll go into it very little. But he elaborates on this. And he says, firstly, Atzarasu Shema Omer Beshutfis Kedel in Yonim Harbe, Shein Damon Zelezer. When we talk of leprosy, we're talking of many different kinds. For example, first there's the leprosy that appears in the skin of the person. Then there's a leprosy that appears in the hair of the person. Then in the garments of the person. Then in the houses of the person. Then he says, all of this leprosy that we're referring to is einam min hogei shel olam. It is not a natural illness, which is min hogei shel olam, which happens like other illnesses in according to the natural pattern of events. A person catches, heaven forbid, he catches flu, or he catches, heaven forbid, malaria, or whatever it might be. That's all mimin hogei shel olam. That's in accordance to the natural order of events. He says leprosy is not like that. Elhu os upele hoya b'Yisrael. Rather, it is something which is totally a pella. A pella is something which is supernatural. In Yisrael, kidei la'azir meloshen hora, because leprosy was an immediate reaction to speaking loshen hora. This you don't find by other illnesses. You'll have immediate physical reactions. You'll have immediate reactions to something physical by other illnesses. You expose yourself to the malaria mosquito, so there'll be an immediate reaction, but not from speaking Lashon Hara. So this was leprosy. It says it was an eis upele hoya b'Yisrael. It was a supernatural event in Israel. Someone who speaks Lashon Hara, then all of a sudden, the next morning, he could wake up and the walls of his house change colors. If he stops speaking Lashon Hara, then it returns to the right colors. If not, then they keep changing colors until the Kohen came and they had to break down the whole house. If he speaks further, so then the garments or what he lays on starts to change colors. If he stops, all right. If not, they have to burn it. If he continues, then he starts to change colors. And then he has to separate himself from people. So he says this was something which was not a natural disease. And why was this? Because here he tells us something very important. He says, what is the cause of Lashon Hara? It's very important for us to understand. What's the cause of Lashon Hara? He says the cause of Lashon Hara is because of the people one associates with. Lashon Hara or Rechilus are from the Averis that you cannot fulfill on your own. There's certain Averis you can fulfill by yourself. But Lashon Hara and Rechilus you cannot fulfill by yourself. You have to have a partner. You have to have someone to talk to. The major cause of this Aveda is because of the people one associates with. If one associates with good people, he's not going to be speaking too much Lashon Hara and Rechilus. If one associates himself with gossips, with people who sit around and talk a lot, with people who are not tolerant of other people, they're not charitable, and are always looking to demean other people, they're looking for points, then he is going to speak Lashon Hara. So the major cause, that Rambam says, is the association of people that you are with. Therefore, the Torah, in this particular Avera, we don't find it by others, took such a stand where it would force you to stop speaking Lashon Hara. How could it force you? Usually other Averas were not forced to stop. It will force you. It will prevent you to have association with other people. Because the halacha is that when he becomes stricken with tzaras, then bodah yeshev, he's not allowed to associate with other people. No one else is allowed to come into contact with him, near him. Chutz lemachaneh meshoveh, he has to go out of the camp. And this is the reason for it. So he says, and this is why the Torah tells us, "Hishomer benega tzaras, zochres asher osa Hashem elokecha lamiryam." Harei ayme is beinenu. The Torah is telling us, "Is beinenu." Give thought, ma'ira lemiryam anaviya, to what happened to Miriam, the prophetess. She spoke about a brother that was younger than her. Meisha was a younger brother, Bishonim, in years. And she felt she had a right to speak about him because she brought him up. And not only that, she even risked her life to save him. But in the case of the daughter of Pare, she was the one who risked her life to save him. And she didn't speak demeaningly of him. And it was erroneous. She had compared him to the other prophets. All other prophets spoke to Hashem, but still they returned to their wives. So she said, wife of Mesha also. She didn't realize Mesha was different. And with all of this, and with all of this, Mesha didn't mind. So Mesha, it was nothing. So you said something about me. Because he was the most humblest person on the face of the earth. And still, miyad nenshu b'tzaras. Immediately she was stricken with this leprosy. So kal v'chaymeh, so how much more so, livnei odam ha-reshoyim ha-tipshim. To the reshoyim, to the wickets, to the tipshim, to the fools, shemar bim ladaber gdulais v'niflais, that always are speaking and speaking and speaking about other people. He says, therefore, a person should take note. That's what the Torah is telling you, Zohar, take note. And take note, lisrachek mi'yishivoson, to distance yourself from the groups of people who speak gossip and loshon hara and idle chatter. States also, berev pesha, berev dibor, berev dvorim lo yechdal pesha. Even if you say, look, there's nothing wrong with associating with these people. They talk and they talk and they talk, but they don't say bad things. And that Shlomo HaMelech says, no. People who just sit and talk, they talk idle chatter. It's impossible that it's not going to come to dangerous talk. And therefore, distance yourself. In order that you shouldn't be caught up in their averus. Avosichas k'sheri Yisrael. Go and find yourself groups of kosher people. In ela b'divriteru l'chochma. These are people who use their time to speak of Torah and to speak in words of wisdom. So, this is what the Rambam adds on this. So we mentioned in this parsha, Meitzi Shemra and Loshon Hora. Especially now that we're in Elul. And Elul's the time really for Binu, that one must take note. One of the greatest and most commonest averus that the Gemara tells us is Loshon Hora. So therefore, we'd like to go into this a bit this evening. We have another source in the Torah, and this is in Parshas Kedoshim. Parshas Kedoshim and Yutes Pasuk Tzayin states, "Leselech Rochel be'amecho." A person should not be a rochel be'amecho. What is a rochel? A rochel literally means a peddler. We would call a traveler, a peddler. A person who goes from one place to another peddling his wares. This is referring to a type of Loshon Hora called Rechilus. And it means a talebearer. A talebearer, a tattletale. That's a person who carries words from one place to the other, which can cause inflammatory words, which can cause machlekes. And this is why he's called a rochel, because he carries tayin dvorim mizeh lezeh. He carries one from one place to the other. Rechilus is when you tell Reuven something that Shimon said about him, or something that Shimon did, that will ignite, inflame machlekes between Reuven and Shimon. We'll go into this a little more just in a minute. So this is the third source that we have. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos Perek Zayin. The Rambam says as follows: Hamaragel bechaveray, eva beleisaser. Shenama leiselech Rachel ba'amecha. Someone who's maragel bechaveray, someone who's a talebearer. He carries tales from one to the other. He transgresses a negative commandment, as it states, leiselech Rachel ba'amecha. Afal pishen leikin al dovazer. And even though there's no malchus, there's no corporal punishment on this. The reason for this is because it's a lavshen b'maisa, there is no physical act involved. Oven godelhu, but it's an enormous avera. V'geirim lahareg nefoshes rabbis miYisrael. And this tale bearing can cause the killing of many, many people in Israel. Lakach nismach leveleisamed al dam reecho. Therefore it states, right in that same posuk, veleisamed, you shall not stand by the innocent blood of your brother. This is why, this is the association. Go and learn what happened to Doeg Adoni. Now, in order to understand Rechilus properly, see, there's Loshon Hara and there's Rechilus. Most people are familiar with Loshon Hara, but unfortunately many people are not familiar with Rechilus. So in order to understand it properly, let's look at the source that the Rambam quotes, and this is one of the major sources for Rechilus in the Shas. In Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perechof Aleph and Chof Beis, Shaul had become turned away from David, and he wanted to kill him. So David fled. Yonasan sent David away. Vayokum vayilach vayovei David noveh el achimelech hakohen. And David came, he fled, and when he fled with nothing, because he had to leave urgently. Shaul wanted his life. And he came to the city of Nov. Nov was one of the cities where the Mishkan, the sanctuary, stayed for a number of years. And therefore it was known as an Ir Kahanim, a city of Kahanim. And the one in charge was Achimelech. And Achimelech, when he saw David come, he was took a fright. Because David was the Nichbod, Bechol Beis Shaul. David was a very, very important and honored personality. He was always with the king of Israel. And he was a great warrior. He had destroyed Goliath. And he was known for his righteousness. And when a person like David traveled, so he should travel with a whole entourage of people and whatnot. And here, David's coming alone, and he's out of breath, and he has nothing with him. He has no food with him. He has no arms with him. He has no naorim, no lads with him. So Achimelech came and he said, Madu atolavadech v'ish ein itoch? Why is no one with you? So David didn't want to say, he didn't want to say anything against Shaul, that Shaul wants to kill him. And this is why he had to run. So he said, Amelech tzivani dover. The king sent me on an urgent mission, and it was so urgent that I had to leave immediately. And also, very, very secret mission, ish al yedam u'ma. No one was supposed to know about it, so I couldn't even bring anybody with me. So he says, now, look, can you help me? Do you have something here? Do you have some bread I can take along on my journey? Do you have some weapons? All right, so Achimelech says, yes, I have some loaves of bread I can give you. He says, as far as the weapons, the only weapon here is the sword of Goliath, if you want to take it. So he took it all. V'shom ish me'avdi shol v'yomo hu ne'etzo lifnei Hashem. And there was a person there who was from the servants of Shol. And actually he was a great person. He was a great Talmud Chacham. It says ne'etzo hu, he was Eisik b'Torah. He was learning Torah there. Ushmei Doeg HaAdomi. And this was Doeg HaAdomi. Adir Araim, Asher LeShol. He was from the chieftains of Shol. And Rashi brings Ab Bezdin. He was the head of the Bezdin. And he witnessed all of this. Then David went on his way. Vayokum David vayivrach bayim mahumim neishol. So David went on his way. Meanwhile, Shaul was looking for him. And they were looking high and low and they couldn't find him. And Shaul was getting very upset. And he said, La'avodov, anitzovim alov, shimu no b'nei yemini, gam lekulchem yitain ben yishai, sodu sukromim lekulchem yosim, sorry, alofim, sorry, meyas, ki kishatim kulchem alai ve'in gele es ozni. Have all of you conspired together with David? My faithful servants, none of you are telling me where David is. You all know that I want his life, and you all know that he's against me. And why is it that today none of you, all of this time, none of you have come to tell me where he's hiding? Vayan Deig HaAdomi. So Doeg was there, and he said, "Re'isias ben Yishai, Boneve Elachimelech ben Achitu." He said, "I saw Ben Yishai, I saw David." And he came to Achimelech in the city of Nov, and he asked for something to eat, and he asked for weapons, and he told Shaul what took place. So the king sent Achimelech. Now, Doeg, when he said this, he didn't say anything against. He didn't say Loshon Hara on Achimelech, because he said Achimelech had given him a sword and had given him bread to eat. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. The fact is, not only it was the truth, but it was even admirable in the eyes of Achimelech. If we would have asked Achimelech himself, "What did you do?" he would have honored himself, taken honor in the fact that he gave David food and he gave him a sword, because in his eyes, he was the Nichbad Bechol Beis HaMelech. He was the most honored one in the house of the king. So he wasn't saying anything like an eye. He wasn't saying anything. He merely told him a statement that he witnessed. And not only that, who was asking him? The king. And same Tosi Malech HaMelech says in last week's parsha, a king you have to have the greatest fear and respect for. The king was asking for this information. So Doeg told him, and the king sent to call in Achimelech, and his whole family, all of the Kanim and Nov. And he said, "Is this true that you have bound yourself together with David, and you gave him bread, and you gave him a sword?" And the king said, "Yes." Excuse me, Achimelech said, "Yes." Who in your whole household is as loyal to you as David? V'chasan HaMelech, he's the son-in-law of the king. V'sor al mishmatecho, v'nichbad b'veisecho, and he's the one that listens to all of your words, and he's the most honored one in your house. And the king said, "If this is what you have done, meis tomus Achimelech hatov echol beis avicha, then you shall surely die together with your entire household." And the king told his servants, "Go and kill them all. Sebu v'hamisu kahane Hashem, because gam yodamim David, because they have helped with David. Go and kill all of the kahane Hashem." The servants won't do it. Le'ovu avdi amelech lishleech eshodom. Now the servants would not do it. I, the king, commanded. So Rashi brings, because it says you'll only listen to the king when he tells you something that is not contrary to the Torah. But this was contrary to the Torah. So that no one would kill them. So he turned to Doeg and he said, "You are the one that brought me this information. You killed them." So Doug went, and he killed all of the Kohanim on that day. 85 Ish Nase Efei Bad, 85 Kohanim. Then they went to the city, and they killed off the rest of the city of Nov. Man, woman, child, and all of the animals they killed. One son remained. This was Avyosa, the son of Achimelech. And he escaped and he ran to David. And he told David what happened. And David said, Yodati bayemahu, kishom deig ha'adimi. He said, I was afraid of this, because I saw Doeg there when this took place, and I was afraid that he might do this. Haged yagi l'shol. Onechi sabesi b'chol nefesh beis avicha. David was broken over the news because he said, I am the cause of it. It is because of me that your entire household, your father's household, was killed. Shvo iti al tiro. Now you stay with me and do not be afraid. Ki asher yevakesh es nafshi, yevakesh es nafshecho. Because the one who is threatening to kill me is the one who's threatening to kill you. Ki mishmeres ato imodi, and therefore we are both in this together, and I will guard you. This is the story of Achimelech from Ir Nov HaKahanim and Doeg HaAdomi. So the Rambam says, even though this oven is, there's no corporal punishment, it's an enormous aveira, and it can come to kill many, many people in Israel. Say leman ma'ir alek Doeg HaAdomi. Go and learn from Doeg HaAdomi. Eze rochel zeh sheton dvorim vahelik mizel zeh. Ve'eme kach oma pleni kach v'kach shomati al pleni afa pishu emes harizeh machri v'sa olam. And who is the rochel? The rochel is when you carry information from one person to another person. And that information is inflammatory. That information can start machlekes. That information can cause dissension. You say to Shimon, this is what I heard Reuben say about you, or this is what Reuben did, even though it's not a genai, it's not anything against Reuben. But harizem achri v'sa olam, this can destroy the world. The Chofetz Chaim, in his sefer, in a sefer Klal Aleph Hilchos of Rechilus, see, he brings this Rambam. He says, "Say v'lomar ulmar ma'ira mirechilosei shel Doeg HaAdomi, shenera nergu al yedei zeh kol neiv ira kahanim." Like we said, then then he goes into detail, which this evening, of course, we don't have time to go into all of the detail, but one or two important points which he brings in this halacha. In Sif Gimel, he says, "V'dadi isur rechilus v'afilu im ein miskavet berechilosei lahach nisina belibay al esei pleini." He says, Rechilus doesn't have to be where your intention is to make machlekes, to inflame. Unfortunately, today, one of the worst aveiras, or the most common aveiras of the world that we live in today, is Rechilus in Lashon Hara. And we see it in the general world, and we see it in the Jewish world. Generally, we say the influence of the nations go off on Klal Yisrael. Many times the sages tell us just the opposite. It's the influence of what happens in Yisrael that goes off to the rest of the world. Today, newspapers and media, they try to create scandals. They go out of their way to create a scandal. They go out of their way to create a confrontation, to create machlekes. Because people are more interested, they'll sell more paper, sell more time on television and so forth. Political parties will go out of their way to make machlekes, and so on. And unfortunately, we have this in the Jewish world. We have it in the Jewish world at the international level, at the national level, at the local level, all levels. People many times think it's the biggest mitzvah to repeat something over which is going to cause a machlekes. Now, if a person says something to Shimon which he heard about him and it's inflammatory, his intention is to create a row. Now, this is rechilus at its best, or at its worst, whatever way you want to translate it. Many times you buy someone that you know that they'll eat only one meat, and you were by someplace else and you come and you tell them, you know, they ate different types of meat, they did this differently, they did that differently, and you know it's going to create a row. But you feel this is a very important thing, and that's what the Rambam says, Seul Maad Midei Gadoimi. It's no joking matter, because Harezeh hating Nefoshes Harbi Yisrael, this can come to kill Nefoshes Harbi Yisrael. So this is poshut. Unfortunately, it's not simple to the masses, because either they're unaware of this or they don't want to be aware of it. So this is simple in halacha. But let's just speak about a few chidushim which are not so simple. What happens if the person does not have intentions to inflame angers? He's also guilty. If I come home and someone asks me, "Knew what happened in shul today?" So I say something, and they hear, "That's what took place," or "That's what that person said," or "That's what that person did," and all of a sudden there's all kind of tempers. And I'm caught unaware. I'm saying, I didn't want to start machlekes. I didn't realize this. Had I known this, I would have kept quiet. If the person didn't have intention, but he was negligent, then he's also guilty. Vafilim gam lefi daita kidin osa pleni. Shedibar Allah va'osa la'maisa zeh. And even if you feel what the other person said or did was justified, was totally justified. Afilo hochi rochel mikri. You are still called a rochel. You are still the talebearer. Because you have started machlekes. You have started machlekes with your mouth. So you're still a talebearer. The sources that the Chofetz Chaim brings for this is one from the Ramban of Miriam that we mentioned, that even though that's speaking about Loshon Hara, this is Rechilas, there's a difference, and we'll speak about that in a minute. But Miriam, the Sifri says Beferish, was not Miskaven Leganesh Mesha. Miriam didn't speak against Mesha to demean him, heaven forbid. She didn't come to Aaron and she said, "Look what kind of brother we have. Look what kind of brother we have. Look, he's not so righteous as everybody makes him out to be. He's a fraud." She didn't come, heaven forbid, like that. She spoke to Aaron because she was trying to put the family back together. So she didn't have intention at all to demean him. And the Sifri says, Miriam, like he's coming like an icy cloud. And still, what do we see? That she was stricken with the full weight of the Avera and the punishment. So the Chofetz Chaim says, so Rechilas would be the same. That if you come and you say something over to someone else that you know will create a machlekes, even though this is not your intention, you're negligent and you carry responsibility for it. Unless it's something that was entirely, you couldn't foresee at all. And he brings also from this, from the Rabbi Yena, that Chayovim v'nenoshim gam al apshia. When it comes to Loshon Hara and Rechilas, you are guilty and you are punished also, even when your intention was not for this, if you were negligent. And then he brings a raya from a Gemara in Shabbos. Gemara in Shabbos in Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. This is a famous story which we've learned many times, especially when it had to do with Lag BaOmer. It's an Reb Shimon ben Yochai. It states that Reb Shimon ben Yochai, together with Reb Yehuda and Reb Yesi, were sitting and they were talking, and there was also Yehuda ben Gerim. Reb Yehuda said, look how beautiful the works of this Roman nation is. They made beautiful markets and bridges and bathhouses. The Romans were famous for their bathhouses, their swimming pools, and so forth. They had beautiful, ornate swimming works. So this is what Reb Yehuda said. Reb Yesi, when he heard this, he didn't agree. He held that the Romans were a bunch of gangsters. So he didn't agree, but they were living under the Roman occupation. So he kept his mouth closed. Shosak, he kept quiet. Reb Shimon ben Yochai couldn't keep silence. And he said, "Kol ma shetikna leitikna letzorech atzmon." Everything that you see that they did, which you call so beautiful, they've only done it for their own selfish and greedy needs. Tiknu shvokim loshim ben zenis. They made marketplaces for the promiscuity. Machotzeis. They made beautiful baths and swimming pools. That's only for their personal enjoyments. Bridges they made for taxes and so forth and so on. Holach Yehuda ben Gerim v'siped divrehem. Yehuda ben Gerim, who was there, he went and he heard what took place, and he went and he told it. He said it over. V'nishmu l'malchus, and it was heard by the malchus. It eventually got to the ears of the government. Now, who did he say it over to? Yehuda ben Gerim. The Mephoshim come and say that Yehuda ben Gerim was a Talmud. He was a disciple of Reb Shimon ben Yochai, and he was not a Rosh. He was not a wicked person. And it doesn't say that he told the government. It says he went and told it over, and it was heard by the government. So he went home and told his wife. He went home and told his children. Or he went and told his friend. Went to shul and he told his friend. When the government heard this, so then they said, Shimon Shigina Yehorik, Reb Shimon ben Yochai that spoke against the government, we want his head. And they sent out a search warrant for him. And Reb Shimon ben Yochai and his son had to go hide. And they went and hid, concealed themselves in a cave. First they hid, and then they couldn't hide anymore. They went and they concealed themselves in a cave for 7 years. For 12 years. Yeah. This is the story. Finally, when they went back, finally the government forgot about it. So Eliyahu came and told them they could go out of the cave and so forth. Then it states in the end that Yehuda ben Gerim was punished severely for this. It was punished severely. Heaven killed him. Now the Chofetz Chaim asks, what did he do that heaven killed him? What did he do? He was a Rochel. He went and he said over information that could cause machlekes. But he says, but he didn't have intentions to it. He brings proofs to it. He didn't have intentions to it. So the answer is you call this a red herring. A red herring, information that can be inflammatory, you don't say over. Not only to the person that it's going to inflame, but even to other persons, because it might eventually reach his ears. And if you do say it over, and it causes the rise of tempers and machlekes and ramifications and consequences, then you're held guilty. A second point. That the Chofetz Chaim brings out, that the worst facet of rechilas is if this information that you tell over is to people who are friends to each other, achim. Chazal tell us, "Mishalach medonim bein achim ze kosher mikulan." That people who are close friends, like brothers to each other, and you feed one of them information that could be machni sina belibay ala acher, that can put hatred in his heart against the other one, that is the worst avera. Or, for example, ishi ishtoi, a man and his wife. Then another din he tells us. What happens? What happens if you come home one day? You come home from shul, and your father or your mother or your Rebbe says, "Tell me, what did that person say about me?" Or, "Tell me, what did that person say?" Because he had heard something had taken place. And you know that if you will tell him, it's going to cause machlekes. It'll be inflammatory. You're not allowed to say. Even if your father insists, or your mother insists, or your Rebbe insists, not allowed to say. He says the reason is simple. If your father tells you to eat nevela, your father tells you to eat something that's not kosher, if your Rebbe tells you to eat something that's not kosher, you're not allowed to listen. So certainly here. And he says the proof is from Doeg himself. Because why did Doeg say this information against Ovid? Because Shaul was pressing and pressing and pressing, and Shaul was the king. And the king you have to listen to. So all Doeg was doing was complying with the king's instructions and orders. He says, "Are you all conspiring against me? None of you know where David has gone." And still we see Doeg is the classical example that the sages always bring for Rechilus. So that's another important point. Then a final point he brings. Well, there's many, but the ones that we're bringing now. He says, what happens if you come home and he asks you like this, someone asks you, your father, your mother, your friend, your wife, your husband, whatever it might be, they said, "I heard that Reuben said something about me." Did he say or not? You don't want to tell, so you say, "Look, I only want to know, did he say something about me or not?" He asks you a direct question, "Did he say something about me or not?" You don't have to tell me, just tell me if he said something about me or not. And he did. So what are you supposed to do then? Now we have a lot of people that are might be well-meaning, but very, very ignorant. They're like well-meaning Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts. And they always say that I must always tell the truth. especially when it involves other people, when it gets other people in trouble, not themselves in trouble. And they always say, I cannot tell a lie. See, and the Chazal say not like that. There are certain times when you're obligated to say a lie, and you're not allowed to tell the truth. And we learn this out from no less than HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, who's Chesomei Emes, who is the inventor of truth. Because when Sarah said something which was inflammatory to Abraham, she said, how can you give me a child? I'm so old, and my husband is so old. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to repeat over that Sarah didn't believe to Abraham, and he only said, Sarah's old. She said on herself, she's so old. He wouldn't say that she said Abraham was so old. Why? Because that could be inflammatory. So even HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara says, Vashina b'pnei Asholem. Therefore, the Chofetz Chaim brings that in that kind of case, also legalis, you're not allowed to reveal. Even if they asked you directly, you're not supposed, if possible, you're not supposed to lie. Just to try to mishtamet, get around it without a direct lie. But if they asked you directly and you have no other way out of it, then rather to say that he did say something about you, you have to say, no, he didn't say anything about you. You must lie rather than to bring machlekes b'Yisrael, even if it's a sheker gomor. It goes into the shaila, this ashfur, neder, that's something else, but even a direct lie. Now, if we look at this, if we view this in the light of today's world, be it the non-Jewish world or the Jewish world, today people go out of their way to make machlekes. It's the greatest mitzvah to tell one person what the other one has said about him, or to tell one camp what the other people have said about him. They go out of their way. This is the greatest mitzvah, to make machlekes. These are isurim chamurim. These are from the most severest averus in the Torah, that a person is supposed to go so far out of his way in order to make shalom. They used to bring from a footner, a Talmud once told me, from a footner, Zeichet Tzadik Livrocha, that when someone would say that this I don't eat or this I don't eat because I'm mahadir. Mahadir means I want to do more than the halacha. He used to tell him, "Built mahadir zayn besan loshen hora. You want to do hidurim? You want to do something more than the halacha? So concentrate and do more of the halacha in regards to loshen hora and mechilus." He says that'll be better. Now this is rechilus. Then the Rambam brings further. He says, Yeshav and Godel Mizad Me'aid. Now there's an Aveda even worse than this, he says. And this is what's called Loshon Hara. And this is when you speak something demeaningly about another person, even though it's true. But if you say something which is not true, that's called Meitzei Shemra Al Chavera. That's Meitzei Shemra. Then the Rambam says another case, Aval Baal Loshon Hara, someone who's a Baal Loshon Hara. What's a Baal Loshon Hara? So the Kesem Mishnah explains this, people who are gossiping all of the time. Zeshi Yeshe Ve'eme, and these are people that sit and talk all of the time. Kach also Pleni. Kach, this is what this person did. This is what this person's father was. This is what he used to be, and so forth. Vorim Shulganai, things which are demeaning. And this HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yikoris Hashem, he cuts them off from the nation. The sages say, three Averas, they collect from a person in this world, and he has no portion in the world to come. Idolatry, immorality and incest, adultery and incest, and the spilling of blood. And Loshon Hara, but Loshon Hara is equal to all three of them. Kol Elu People who are gossipers, you're not allowed to live in their neighborhoods. And Kosh came to sit with them and to listen to them. The final act that sealed the decree on our forefathers in the desert, that that generation did not live to see, to come to Eretz Yisrael, was Loshon Hora. Now this is also important. People move, they make all kind of calculations. You want a nice neighborhood, open air, nice homes, so forth and so on. Another calculation. The people that, where you're going to move, and you're going to have to associate with people. You're going to go to, you're going to associate to people in your neighborhood, you're going to go to a shul in the neighborhood. Are they the type of people that sit and they speak in Divrei Torah and they speak in wisdom and they speak in words of chesed? Oh, that's a good neighborhood. Are they the type of people who sit and they talk of what Beryl is doing and what Shmerel is doing and what Beryl eats and when this one doesn't eat, and they're always interested in what others are doing and machlekes? And this, the Rambam says, it's also lodo bishkunosam. You're not allowed to move into such a neighborhood and kolsh came, and certainly you're not allowed to sit with these people. Now, the Rambam had listed four categories, which if you study his words, you'll see, and this is how the Kesef Mishnah explains. There are four categories. There is, the first category is rechilus. And that's where you don't say anything demeaning about a person. You merely carry, like a rochel, like a talebearer, you carry information from one to the other that will be inflammatory. And that will create bad feelings or hatred or machlekes. That's one category. A second category is Loshon Hara. Loshon Hara, the Rambam says, is worse than that. And that's where you say something demeaning about a person behind his back. Or in his presence, but in the presence of others. You say that Reuven once was a thief. Reuven once had to spend 6 months in jail. See? Now, Reuven at one time wasn't even frum. Or Reuven, his father was a drunkard. Anything that is damaging to his shame, to his reputation, certainly his professional reputation, because that's even again, now you take away panosa from him. But when you say something demeaning about another person in presence of others, if you say it demeaning to he alone, that's not Loshon Hara. That's a different category that we're not speaking about. That's oh no. That's insulting someone. That's a different category. But if you say something demeaning about him in the presence of others, then this is Loshon Hara, and this the Rambam holds is worse than Rechilus. It's interesting, the Ravid disagrees. The Ravid says no. He says Rechilus is worse than Loshon Hara. To carry information from one to the other, even though it's not demeaning information, but it's information that will seed machlekes, that will inflame tempers, that's worse. So this is a machlekes between, a dispute between the Rambam and the Ravid. But at any rate, these are the two categories. The first two categories, one is rochilus, carrying information from one to another that will seed machlekes. And the second is loshon hara, saying something which is demeaning about your fellow man in the presence of others, damaging his name. Then there's a third category. Now, this is all considering that it's true. We're talking about truth. That's another thing. People come and say, well, what can I help it? It was the truth. It was the truth. I was there and I saw them eat this and this. I was in their house and I saw this is what they eat. So it's true. Loshon Hara and Rechilus are speaking about something that's true, and still the Torah told you to keep your mouth shut. All right? That's if it's true. If it's not true, then it goes into a third category. And that's what we learned in our Parsha, Metzi Shemra. That's Metzi Shemra. That's where he takes a woman and he marries her, he hates her, and now he fabricates a whole Maisa in order to get back at her. That's Metzi Shemra. That's already not only you're saying over something that what they did, but you're even creating things they didn't do. That's the third category. Then the fourth category is Baal Loshon Hara. Baal Loshon Hara are those people that always do it. That's what the Rambam says, someone who's Yeshiv Tomid is always sitting and always talking about others. If a person does this only from time to time, so we see that's not his nature, but once in a while he falls into the clutches. Right, it's a very, very serious avera. But on the Baal Loshon Hara, those people who do it all of the time, on them it's written that Ein Lam Chelek Leilam Abba, they lose their portion in the world to come, and all of the very, very serious things that the Chazal have said are written, are pertain basically to the Baal Loshon Hara, to those who are do it all of the time. The Vilna Gaon, we've given long shurim on the letter of the Vilna Gaon and what his attitude was towards this. Let me just quote one or two words which he writes. He says, "Ki chet haloshen al kula," the avera of the tongue, that's worse than everything. Like the Chazal tell us, loshen hora keneged kula, equal to all averas, is the avera of the tongue. Umali laharich bezeho oven achomer. He's writing here to his family. He was going to Eretz Yisrael, and he's writing here to his wife and to his mother, and he says, "Why should I elaborate on this? Why is it necessary to elaborate on this?" Look, he writes, "Bezeho oven achomer mikol haaveres." Many people, they laugh when it comes to loshon hara. This is the avera, he says, which is more severe than all of the other averas in the Torah. It can't be. Many people, for the sake of, when it comes to this, for the sake of other mitzvahs, a hidur in kashrus, or a hidur in shkita, or a hidur in tzitzis, or a hidur in mezuzahs, whatever it'll be, you can't even compare the averas to this. The Chofetz Chaim writes, he says, he lists off, if I recall correctly, what is it, Yudalad Leisaseh, and Yudalad Essays, I think. He lists off a few dozen mitzvahs. What? Yud Zayin and Yudalad. Yudalad. Yeah. 17 negative commandments and 14 positive commandments that it's possible to transgress when someone speaks Loshon Hara. So he says, what is it, why is it necessary to elaborate? He says, this is more severe than all of the other averas. And he's pleading with his family. He says, you do not know the consequences. He says, every word is written down. He says, even when it comes to Dvorim Betelim, idle chatter, how much more so dvorim asurim, words which one is not allowed to say. For example, loshon hora, or machlekes, or kloles, or yukursats, uber prat vesaknesses. And he says, and how much more so, even in shul people speak about this. And he says, and even more so, b'shabbos u'b'yantiv. A person speaks loshon hora or something on Shabbos and yantiv, it's worse. The Gong just couldn't take this. And he writes there, he says, never afil dibur echot shelei nichtav, even one word is not failed to be written down. Like it states, ki eifa shemaim yeliches akol lebalkon nafaim yagid, the birds of heavens carry the words where they're written down. And he says, a person is going to have tshuva and kapora and whatnot for everything, all of this. So he says, he pleads, he appeals to his family to be very, very careful. And then he says, and this is also very important, because we educate our children in everything, but do we educate them in Loshon Hara? Do we educate them in Machlekes? In tale bearing? In tattling? It says, "V'gambosi levakesh miitoch miod miod bebakosha gedol levatzuma shtucha." You can imagine the girl using this language. He says, "I come to appeal to you from the depths of my heart, shetadrich es benosayich miod, that educate the daughters on this, shelayetzi mipihem klolo, that a curse should never come out of their mouths, a shvua, an oath, kezev, lie." Or machlekes shouldn't come out of their mouths. Rakakul b'sholom ba'avol b'chibah b'nachas. But the household always should be with peace, in harmony. Right? He wasn't just saying this for that purpose. He was saying it was because of this avera. So this gives us an idea into what this mitzvah is. I just want to conclude with a story. I don't recall it. We might have once mentioned it here before or not in a shir. But this is a story. This is also a very, very something to that one can be taken aback on. I have a friend, a great Talmud Chacham. He comes here from time to time. He lives in New York. His name is Rabbi Rothberg. He had a father who was a great Rav in Lita, a Rav of a city called Luna. To be a Rav in Lithuania, you had to be a great Talmud Chacham. And in his early days, he had studied by the Chofetz Chaim, Zecher Letzadik Livracha, in Radin. So last time he was here, he showed me in the Kisveh, called Kisveh Chofetz Chaim. It's brought in the Dugma Misiches Ovizal and Daf Pei. His father's name was Reb Tuvia Rothberg. And he showed me a story where the Chofetz Chaim's son writes, which he heard from this Reb Tuvia. Well, the Reb Tuvia was in the yeshiva. His father was in the yeshiva. What took place, this goes back many years ago. There was the Radin had taken in a new mashgiach, Rabbi Yeruchim. It was with Rabbi Yeruchim who later was to become the famous Mir Yeshiva mashgiach. And Rabbi Yeruchim was introducing Musar into the yeshiva. And in those days, not all yeshivas had accepted formal Musar programs. And there started to be some dissension and division. There were those that liked the Mashgiach and liked what he was doing, and then there were those that didn't like the Mashgiach and didn't like what he was doing. And it started to buzz, little by little. And then the buzzing grew into a rumble, and it started to gather momentum. And it was not long when it was becoming a major machlekes in the yeshiva. And where even the oldest talmidim and even those from the kollel, had a kollel that was learning courtship, even the kollel that was learning courtship became involved. And these were great lomdim, and there were those that held that this could be a threat to the yeshiva. It's not right. So they were standing up, l'shem shemayim. They were ready to fight a war in the name of heaven. And there were those that were held, no, this is good. And they were standing up to Shem Shammai. And these were Talmidim of stature. These were not just gossipers. And he writes Reb Tzvi. I think Reb Tzvi might have been Reb Naftali Trop. I'm not sure though. Reb Tzvi, who's the manal of the yeshiva, he tried to control it. And he couldn't control it. He tried to silence it and control it and compromise. No, he couldn't under any circumstances. But he didn't want to bring this to the attention of the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim already might have been older. The Chofetz Chaim used to travel a lot. He was not the formal Rosh Yeshiva, the yeshiva. He was his yeshiva, but he used to have Rosh Yeshivas under him. So he wasn't always aware of the day-to-day things that were going on. So he said, under any circumstances, don't let the Chofetz Chaim become aware of what's going on, because we know the way he doesn't like Lashon Hora, and we know that, and actually when there's Machlekes, it has to be Lashon Hora. This one puts forth his side and this, and he says we don't want to upset the Chofetz Chaim. So under no circumstances must you tell the Chofetz Chaim. They don't want to upset him. As time went on though, he found out what was going on. When he found out what was going on, he called an immediate assembly. Okay. He called the whole yeshiva together for an immediate, urgent assembly. And he gave them a whole shmooze, a whole talk. But what he said in the end was this. He says, I know that this side is saying that whatever they're doing or whatever they're saying is for the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I know that the other side is saying that whatever they're saying and what they're doing is for the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what is concerned here is concerned here a yeshiva. It was his yeshiva. And he says, and I know that every one of you will know without a doubt what a yeshiva means to me. The Chofetz Chaim was the one that went all over Europe trying to build yeshivas. What a yeshiva means to me. But he says, I want to tell you something. He says, Ma tem chayshvim ki etztarif gam anechi lechabur raskem. What are you thinking? Each side wants me to associate with their side. He says, De'u, you should know. Ki im chol chivavaisi lelamdei teirah. For all of my love for those who learn Torah, and all of my love and life that I've given for yeshivas, ani eimer lochem, I tell you, mutav li sheyo'ovdu afilu 70 yeshivas. I will be happier to see 70 yeshivas destroyed, mishakones bechaburas kat balei loshon hora, before I will associate myself with any group of balei loshon hora. Beholach lei. And he left the Beis HaMikdash. This is what the Chofetz Chaim told him. He said, with all of my love for yeshivas, he wasn't talking here about a matter of kashrus. He was talking about one of the greatest yeshivas in Lithuania, his yeshiva in Ran. He says, with all of my love for yeshivas, he says, I will choose to see 70 yeshivas be destroyed before I will get involved in this machlekes and identify myself with kite bale loshon hora, with those who are bal loshon hora and bal machlekes. And he left the Beis HaMikdash. This was a famous story that took place with the Chofetz Chaim, and it's written here in the Sefer. This is something to learn from. At any rate, from here we have some biurim, some explanations in these mitzvahs of Meitzi Shemra, or Yishom Melacho B'Neged Tzaras. And now we are in Elul, prior to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. This is one of the areas which it states the Chazal tell us always needs chizuk. We always must strengthen ourselves on, and then we will be zeicher to Chaim B'Sholom.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za, or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.